Okay, here it goes. Week of the spies. Spy week. So now, usually, not usually, some people have a concept. You got to close. Oh, he's in. Close the door on the way in. You don't have to come in. Usually you do. That wasn't a pressure to come in. On page 800, you brought a commission already. Okay, start over. Spy week. Now, usually, or some people have a concept that on this week, Pasha Shalach, when the spies went and they spied out the land and came back and returned with negative words, people like to speak positively about the land of Israel. So, obviously, in these days, most of the world these days doesn't even recognize there is a place called Israel. They have a different name for it. The idea is this: we're going to talk about something about Israel. That, when I finally said I'm going to get back to this at one point, we're getting back to it. We're getting back to something you mentioned a long time ago. I don't know when, but you can check it out at rabbihubba.com. It's on one of those 250 plus you room there, but it was recently. So this is the idea. Here you go. Moshe Rabbeinu is picking the spies out. Just reading article in the margin 7 to 9, the command to send the spies there. So Moshe davened to Yeshua, and then he starts giving instructions. Here it goes. Ascend here in the south. Moshe Rabbeinu is becoming a general. See the land, the people that dwell in it. Is it strong? Is it weak? Is it few? Is it few or numerous? And how is the land which it dwells? He's giving them things. You got to check it out. You got to come back with the information. But you're also supposed to come back with the loot. Here it goes, verse 20, 13, 20. And how is the land? Is it fertile? Is it lean? Are there trees in it, Yedidya, or not? Here goes the words we're going to discuss tonight. You shall strengthen yourselves. Yeah, I don't know what it means in a second. And take from the fruit of the land. And by the way, Moshe doesn't say this, end quote, the days were the season of the first ripe grapes, which we've discussed in the past. Now, our scroll only says on this, I can't believe this, are there trees in it? Like, who cares? He says, Rashi comments that Moshe refers, was there an illusion? Was there a tzaddik in the place whose merit the inhabitants would be sheltered from? Okay. So he's talking to the spies. Now that Ramban says, we like, strengthen yourselves is, game time motivation. Locker room talk, as they say in America. Guys, let's go. It's game time. Strengthen yourselves. Listen, being a spy, not easy, right? Not life expectancy on a spy. I don't know. Not good. Not good. So he's like, guys, be strong. And then he adds on, we'll see if it's connected at all, and take from the fruit of the land. So the Ramban seems to express it, but I'm about to tell you. It means, listen, when you're going in there, you got to be strong. You got to be tough. You got to have steel nerves. Go into the markets, buy stuff. Don't be hiding out and not intermingling at all. You have to look at the black ops situation happened a couple weeks ago in Israel. I don't know if they came in. They came in as civilians with mattresses. They came from a different location. There's an idea. Get in a little bit. Look, join the crowd. That's what he's trying to tell. You would assume that sometimes the spies must be hiding. No, take from the fruit of land. Go in there. Because if you get, it seems like Ramban is saying, if you're going to go into the land and disappear, someone's going to say, what happened to that guy over there? Remember that guy who walked in and didn't look like one of us? Where'd that guy go? And they'll start getting suspicious. So no, integrate with the land. That's the way Ramban wants. Okay. Ramban. Talmud. Talmud. Here it goes. Open Talmudic passage. We are going to Baba Basra, 91b, no, wrong, 90b, bottom of the page. Here it goes. Important. But the right phrase is Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi's thought. Unbelievable. Open Talmud. See in a second, we'll quote it. One may not carry out of Israel fruit and things which are life's necessities, such as wines, oils, and various kinds of flowers. Read again. One must not carry out of Israel fruits and things which are life necessities. One must not carry out of Israel life necessities. Moshe Rabbeinu telling the spies and take from the fruit of the land and bring it to the desert. This is what we mentioned a long time ago to come back to this topic. You remember that? A few months ago, we said we're going to get back to this topic about the law. Get to some of the details in a second. That one is not allowed to take fruits out of the land of Eretz Yisrael. And before Chas was raising his hand, just know this is going to be very, it's not a foreign concept. What about Esrogim? Do we not look for Esrogim from Israel? Do we have a company we're very proud of that we spoke about a few weeks ago, Carmel Wine, that we said that when the Tziv, go back to rabbihubba.com, Pratt Wine of Poland, we said that when the Tziv got a bottle of wine, he put on a suit because it was a bottle of wine from Israel. Whoa, bottle Kabbalah. Wine, let me read this again here. Which are life's necessities, such as wines, oils, and flour. So Carmel wine, if we stop right here, we just shut down the business. Moshe Rabbeinu telling the spies to leave. And by the way, go in there, take some fruits and bring it back. Oh. And by the way, you remember who brought the stuff back? The 10 spies brought stuff back. Yeshua and Caleb said, no, we're not going to bring stuff back. Could it be, like some want to suggest, that they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know exactly what you meant, but we're not bringing stuff out of Israel to the desert because that's like a potential law. Now, by the way, Rambam, in the Gemara, to have those little numbers here, little tests on the side here, quotes, look it up. Rambam quotes this as an halacha. Shulchan Aruch quotes this as an halacha. What's interesting is the Rosh, who we've discussed in the past, the Shulchan Aruch was written around the same time as the Rama's notes on the Shulchan Aruch. They were both in Tzfas and Krakow, and they were writing the laws, gathering it from the Rambam, the Gemara, through. They put it together. And when the Shulchan Aruch came out, the Rama said, you know what? I'm not going to put out a competing book. That competition, very hard, very expensive. We're not going to do that. I'm going to modify to be the notes onto the Shulchan Aruch. Did we not say this recently in one of these classes? Thought so. On the notes. Just going to add on. That's why he's called the Mappy. He's like, I'm just, why? And he says in the beginning, because the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, living in Tzfas, writes in his introduction, how did I come to the laws? Who am I to decide? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm taking the three big ones, the Rambam, the Rif, the Rosh, and basically, if all three say it, I take two out of three say it, I pick the majority. And the Rama said, listen, that's a nice move for you in Tzfas. We have customs in Krakow, really Ashkenaz, Germany, and we use those customs. So maybe sometimes it's the Rambam and the Rif against the Rosh, but that's two Svaradim, one Ashkenaz, we go with Ashkenaz. We don't go by majority, we go with, we're Ashkenaz. So the Rama wrote his notes on that. And some of the people that the Beis Yosef quotes is also the Rosh, 1327, he passed away. He was in Germany. So we do those. The Rosh does not quote this halacha. The Shulchan Aruch does. The Rambam does. But not all of the codifiers of the law quote this law. Right away, on the start of the Shulchan Aruch, they ask, wait a second. Shulchan Aruch, I know you're quoting it, but you know there are a lot of codifiers didn't quote it. No, the Rambam did. So, starting over. Moshe Rabbeinu says, take out the fruit. We're saying, open Gemara says don't. Rambam and Shulchan Aruch rule this way. That's bad. And by the way, we got to figure out some of the rabbis didn't rule this way. And we said it's going to be tied into present day law. I'm saying it's a Gemara in Bav Basra, 9db on the bottom. And the Rambam is in the laws of selling, says, by the way, you can't sell from Eretz Yisrael, bring stuff out of Eretz Yisrael. Question, how much are we going to say? So, we're going to go into the reasons for this law. And based on the reasons, we're going to figure out if there might be a leniency there. So why can't you take some, I'm curious what you would think. You said, why did you say a guy can't take, what was the word you said, dates? Why can you not tell dates and export them return them to find out what's the deal? What should be wrong with that? It sounds like a smart move. So, the reasons given are two big reasons. One of them is because you want the land, it's called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You want to populate the land of Eretz Yisrael. You want the land of Eretz Yisrael to be a place people want to go to. And therefore, we want an abundance of fruits. And so we don't want to ship things out. We want people never to think that, by the way, oh, they're going to run out of dates because the guy in America pays top dollar for it. No. There will always be dates in the show. There'll always be flour. Don't worry about it. Come to Israel. It goes in a song. Come to Israel. We'll take care of you. That's reason number one. Reason number two, similar, we'll say it different in a second, is that it's not just based about we want people to live there. We're very concerned with the market in Israel. And as fruits go out, prices go up. We don't want that. We don't want Jews to lose money. The difference between the two reasons, drum roll is, let's say a guy lives in America. Could he sell, what grows in America? Potatoes. Could he sell potatoes to Europe and Israel? If the reason is you want people to live in Israel, then yeah, sell from America to Israel. Purposely, ideally, ship stuff to Israel. But if the reason is we don't want the prices, we got to watch the markets, prices go up in Jewish neighborhoods, then if there's a Jewish neighbor that owns potatoes, don't sell the potatoes out because the prices might go up too much. You got to be very careful. That's what it says. But in general, for sure, from Eretz Yisrael, we don't sell. We're not sure now, but selling from Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, do not sell. I'm going to tell you what someone else says. The Ritvaz, you can't go wrong, you're on the same page as the Ritvaz. 120 years ago, chief rabbi of Tzfas, he was actually in Chicago at one point, but they asked him originally, this is when they started shipping out the wines. in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and the Esoregim, and they went up to the Rav Vaz, and the Rabbi Rav Vaz, are we allowed to do this? And the Rav Vaz said, what he said was this, we need commerce, the greater good. He said, if you don't sell to them, we have trade wars, NAFTA agreements, no one's selling to you. How do you plan on getting potatoes? If we don't grow potatoes in Israel, and you're going to tell every country, by the way, you know, we don't export. Everything stays with us. Then the potato guy might say the same thing. So in order, when he writes for the greater good, we allow commerce. Sell the Israel. Now, we, of course, within that, we have to be careful. Make sure the market is still good to the Israeli population. Is not paying 10 times the price. Buy a car in Israel, it costs you $285,000 for a 75-year-old car. We don't want that. But at the same time, we want commerce working. So, of course, when originally this came up, the law in the Talmud time, how many Jews lived in Israel in the time of the Talmud? I don't know. I'm making a number. 280. I'm saying, so, okay, big deal. It wasn't such a big deal. But now that the world's opening up and we're all united and things are flying around the globe and you're trucking ships over the course of the Red Sea over there, we got to get everything together. In order to get everything together, the Rav Vaz came along and said, you know what? Allow commerce to go. On that same theory, Rosen, on the same theory, let's think this through. When Moshe Rabbeinu told the spies, go in, take out, what I said the word was, take from the fruit of the land, if the reason why you don't want to do it is because you want to make sure that Jews are living there and happy to be there, or Jews aren't going to lose money, okay, guess what? When Moshe Rabbeinu told them to take out, it doesn't apply. The law becomes inapplicable if the land is not extremely, pick a number on that percentage, inhabited by Jewish people. Because the law was put in place to protect the Jews living there. When Moses was in the desert, no Jews living there. Therefore, it doesn't apply. Doesn't work at all. No Jews there, not apply. By the way, let's think this through. What's the difference between the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, let's say? The Rambam codifies all the laws. The laws of contamination, the laws of sacrifices, whether it's practically relevant or not, Maimonides, Rabbi Rambam, tells it all. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't. The Rosh doesn't. You know why the Rosh doesn't bring down this law? Because as I hinted to you before, the Rosh lived in 1327. If he died in 1327, living in Germany. How many Jews were living in Israel in 1327? The law was not a practical law. Because at that point in time, if there was going to be a Jew living in Israel, he doesn't have a prohibition of taking that food out. So the Rambam writes all laws, relevant or not. Doesn't matter how many Jews living in Israel when the Rambam was alive. The Shulchan Aruch is going to quote it based on his time, might have been later, 2000. But when the Rosh was alive, there weren't a lot of Jews there. Therefore, he doesn't have to do it. So let's go through what we have here so far. What we have now is that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't take the fruits of the land, that's not a problem. In that time in history, the law didn't kick in yet. Certain laws kicked in when the Jews entered Israel. We have many laws that kicked in when the Jews entered Israel. So it's very simple. The laws kicked in when the Jews entered. Maybe one of the times you brought this question up. You know who else took fruits out of Israel? And they asked the question, how are you doing it? We're going to give the same answer.
Jacob took fruits out of Israel. He took almonds. He took other stuff.
Jacob sending down to Egypt, to Pharaoh. And earlier, pre-Jacob, Eliezer, slave of Abraham, when he went traveling to where other people were, Yitzhak couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael, so they sent Eliezer to go find a wife for Yitzhak. Yitzhak stuck in the land. It says he brought stuff. People asked, what do you know, bring stuff out of Eretz Yisrael? According to what we're learning today, not a problem. The only time the law was applicable was when many, whatever the word many is, when many Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael to protect the citizens of Eretz Yisrael, either to make them feel good and build up the land, or monetarily to make them feel better. But as soon as that was not applicable, God forbid, post Second Temple, or before it became applicable, not a lot of Jews living there, or not a lot of Jews farmers potentially, the law does not apply. So the Rosh is not bringing it down. The Rambam is bringing it down. Sometimes it applies. Sometimes it doesn't apply. Depends who's living there. Now, if you want to say that it applies when the Jews are there, but we still need the Rav Vaz's end. Because today we're still drinking wine, caramel wine. We're still buying our estrogen. The reason why we do it is because we pull it for the greater good of commerce. If you're not going to send stuff out and export as a country, you're not going to import as a country, and if we lose. So what is the main leniency of drinking caramel wine and estrogen, even if people are saying don't, greater good of commerce, or you would have come on to certain times, not now, thank God, when the Jews don't live there. Now, there's another leniency that people want to say. People want to say real backdoor leniency. Can't even think of this. And you need proof to have proof. That if you plant and have in mind at the time of planting that you're going to ship it out, it doesn't apply to these laws. If you plant it initially for sales, if you're planting it originally to sell outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're okay with that. Now, we brought this up before, but we said that the Ramban, Nachmanides, says, when it says strengthen yourself, it meant steel nerve, BS5. When it says take from the fruit of the land, it means join the crowd, mix into the crowd. That's so brilliant answer. They want to say that the Ramban is saying, without saying this question, can't answer this question. He's not saying take from the fruit of the land. And then we're going to take over to the Hebrew side. The Hebrew side says, Ulakachtem, the three others. Ulakachtem, again, no problem with article saying Ulakachtem means take. Ulakachtem also might mean what? Hebrew? Ulakachtem might mean purchase. Would say then, strengthen yourselves and purchase from the fruit of the land. What it meant is intermingle. It was never assumed that you're taking the fruits from Israel out of Israel. That's not what he was telling them. He was telling them, intermingle. Be a good spy. That means the question is just dissolved. He never told them to take out. We asked the question before. We're going to ask the question now again. We're going to remind the question. It's a very serious question. If you understand, like most people, by the way, if you understand that Moshe was telling them, strengthen yourself, whatever that means, who cares, and take from the land and bring back here, the question becomes, how did Yeshua and Kalev, the good spies, not follow Moshe Rabbeinu's directive? Only the bad spies followed him. So the Ramban is sort of answering this. Not sort of, he's for sure answering this. He's not asking it, but he's answering it. But not asking. He's saying, because Moshe Rabbeinu never told them, take out. The article says, take from the fruit of the land. He means purchase fruit while in the land. Eat it in the land. So Yeshua and Paul were like, we're good. We're going to follow the direction of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're going to mix in. We're going to have steel nerve. We're going to buy. We're going to go to the bar. We're going to drink. And we're going to be like one of the pals. We're going to listen in and figure out what they're talking about and be a good spy. But we never said take something back. Therefore, they never violated the law. If you never said take back, then as we're saying, this whole class tonight, it's still good to know the laws. We're good to know the laws. The law says don't remove from the land. We know we're doing it with Carmel. We know we're doing destroying them. All good to know. But is it relevant to this week's parasha? Maybe not. We started saying it's a very relevant question. How does Moshe Rabbeinu get rid of it? The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu never said that. And Yeshua Bacol were like, we know exactly what he's saying. And the spies have an issue. We have answers if he actually told him to take out. But it could be he never told him to take out. He told him to purchase and eat over there. There are other answers. Start looking around. Now, by the way, when you word the word of lakachta, take from the fruit of the land. The word take, is that with permission, without permission? How do you read the word? When you're reading this word before tonight, take from the land, is that what the commentators also ask on this thing? We're going to see an answer in a second. The Ramban's answering it. The Ramban's saying, purpose. Are you stealing? Is that the plan here? What's going on? So the Ramban again is saying, no. Purpose. But if you're saying take, so what's going on here? Now it happens to be someone to say the next word. But take from the fruit of the land, the days were the season of the first ripe grapes. Someone to say that the reason he was able to say take and not purchase, because at that point in the season, everything is not considered acquired yet. At a certain point, the it's like the first what? Right, first ripe grapes. So again, we're focusing on this word. When it says take from the fruit, these are the options, take or buy. Buy and keep there, or take it and buy and bring it back. All of these questions are what we discussed tonight. These two crucial words. But enjoy till next week. That was a good one.